broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
A Democratic state representative from Manchester is under fire for apparently posting a comment on Facebook.
These very localized events become global counterterrorism.
Well, Bill, I understand your frustration. We open up our phone lines with categories.
It's the Jews, stupid.
Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what in the heck it's talking about. This is where truth is our bitch on this show, and we take you through the looking glass of talk radio. This is the world famous, not to be duplicated, Phil Hendry Show. It's a talk show that other talk show hosts listen to, as a matter of fact. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Our website, newly revamped, newly redesigned, with all of the archives and soon to have the full show logs, and we're very excited about our website with all that it has to offer. We've got our backstage pass fact, and I don't know, we had a lot of emails. We got everybody taken care of. So go over to the website tonight, look at our live streaming video and audio, check out the archives. If you don't have a backstage pass, get one. You cannot hope to understand or be a part of this radio show unless you do have a backstage pass. And this is the only backstage pass to a radio show, the only real subscription to any radio show you'll ever have that's fully worth it. And do I mean that? Oh, yes, I do. Oh, wow, do I ever. You can get some kind of a subscription to a radio station, to a radio show website that basically has coffee mugs to sell you and little five-minute podcasts and then a whole bunch of articles that somebody else wrote, right? Our show, our website is about radio, and we have full shows, full video casts, archives up the wazoo, Jack. All right, tonight on the show, Facebook, there was a status update on Facebook that landed a local New Hampshire politician in hot water. A man tells C-SPAN they take too many black callers. 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight on Fresno, KJZN, Fresno, California, 105.5, Yakima, Washington, KBBO. Where's our big city? I'll tell you where it is. Detroit. And Detroit, Michigan is coming online with us. WDTW, 1310 AM, Detroit with us in early April. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to talk about junk food this hour with a guy that I don't know, Bob Green, who is our, he's really all things having to do with consumer-related items, things having to do with food. Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods. According to this article from a local TV station here, Bob, in Los Angeles, if you feel like you're addicted to junk food, you may be right. A new study finds that junk food can be as addictive as cocaine. Junk food can be as addictive as cocaine. You believe that?
Oh, absolutely, we do believe it. And the way that we lay out our store and the way that we deal with our customers, the consumers are the things that we have on... our checkout stand displays, as well as in our aisles, reflects that.
Now, in this article, it says the researchers say the theory is based on a study involving rats. It was published in the Journal of Nature Neuroscience. Although they can't be directly applied to human obesity, researchers say it may help understand the condition and lead to ways to treat it. The study found that overconsumption of high-calorie food can trigger addiction-like responses in the brain, and that high-calorie food can turn rats into compulsive eaters in a laboratory setting.
Well, you know, Bill, I have seen it with my own eyes. You can buy a child, we often saw in our store, you can buy a child a bag of these Skittles, or you can buy them one of these Reese's peanut butter cups or these Reese's pieces, and you can see the way a child, a young child, tears into that food without even thinking. And will continue to eat in a very, very compulsive way for a very, very long time. And this goes without saying. My own son has a weight problem. And as a result of the weight problem my son has, it has affected his adult life to the point now where he has had a difficult time with mobility, a difficult time getting out.
Does he live with you?
He does live with me, yes. My adult son, who is 24 years of age. And that's why we have the picture of Bob Jr. In the store. I keep a copy of his picture with me. And we have a copy of the picture of my son at the checkout stands for the checkers to use.
Now tell me about this, because in your store you have candy at the display aisles, right?
Well, these are the checkout displays, yeah.
The checkout displays, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and there is candy there. That's where we have agreed to carry many of the big-name brands, whether it's Mars or Hershey or some of the smaller companies. But we don't allow young people to buy it, and by that I mean under the age of 18. And we have been known at times to actually ask for identification. We also do not let parents buy it if we think it's going to be eaten by a child. The compulsive child who runs up to the checkout stand and sees the candy and grabs it and puts it on the belt, that's the child that we really have to be aware of. I think all parents need to be aware of that child. He is the one, and we've all seen him, Phil, where he runs over to the candy rack. He looks at all the candy. He grabs the biggest, brightest package, the biggest candy bar or whatever, and puts it there on the belt. And that's when we have to come out from behind the stand and take it very politely and put it back.
So you're not selling candy to children?
We are not selling candy to children. We won't allow it. And that's why this is where the picture of my son, Bob Jr., comes in, where we have this picture, and I will take it, and I will show it to the children. And I will say, do you want to look like this? If we get any kind of an argument from the parents. Generally what happens is the child will go over to his parent after I've taken the candy off the belt and put it back. The parent will come over and say, why did you do that? And I'll say, because this is what your child is going to look like.
So you have a picture of your own son. How does that make you feel?
Well, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I've got a son that is that size, who, had I been a little bit more, had I been stricter with the way he made his food choices, he wouldn't be in the situation he's in right now. Sitting at my home, eating my food, obviously, with no job. So we have been the first of what I hope will be a great many stores to do this. Ultimately, Phil, what we're looking for is an absolute ban on the selling of candy to children, period.
All right, now you're talking right there about a ban on selling candy to children. You're talking about companies making a lot of money on Easter, on Halloween.
I understand that.
On Valentine's Day. And if you say you're not going to sell candy to children...
Well, we're not going to sell it directly to children. If parents are going to come in and buy it and take it home, and I'm not saying make it illegal. I just don't want to see a child buy candy in my store, and I have personal reasons for that, obviously. When I see a child buying candy, my thoughts go to my own son, Robert, and I think of how much weight he put on, and I project that onto the child that's buying the candy. I see that child as my son, Robert, and the bad shape that he's gotten himself into. And the fact that he is unemployed. And so it takes a little bit of control on my part not to get, I have to say, feel angry when I take that candy out of that kid's hand and put it back. And I've had some confrontations with the parents who thought I was very rough with the child. But we're trying to save a generation, Phil, a generation of kids that are going to grow up to look like my son.
Tell me if you could, how much does your son weigh?
He's 320 pounds. He is morbid, almost morbidly obese.
And how tall?
6'2".
And he doesn't have any kind of shape. I mean, there's offensive linemen, obviously, in the National Football League that are that size, but...
No, there's no muscle tone. This is obesity. And he's tall. His mother was tall. I am not. I'm 5'8", 5'9". So he's much taller than me, much bigger than me. And I see him in every kid that comes up to the candy and wants to buy some. I see my son, and it's not a pleasant thought. I get angry. So, no, we won't sell candy to children, and we would like to see a prohibition on the sale of candy to children throughout the country, at least in stores. So if you want to buy candy for your child and take it home, and you want to watch your child turn into something that the rest of society is going to have to take care of,
Well, are you, Bob, you know, the rest of society is going to have to take care of. You're taking care of your son.
Well, these kids eating all of this candy.
No, I know that. The study says here that junk food is as addictive as cocaine. So a child going up to the checkout stand and buying all this candy, you're saying eventually leads to more compulsive buying.
if you allow a child to buy it, if you allow only the adult to buy the candy, there might be some self-control there. There might be some restraint. But even when we see adults buy it, we will not sell candy to any adult that is accompanied by a child. We will not sell candy directly to a child.
So what do you do when the candy goes on the belt, on that conveyor belt? What do you do?
We have instructed our checkers. You go out from behind the register, you pick the candy up, and you put it back in the stand. If they take it from the stand and put it back in the belt, you walk around, you pick it up, and you keep doing that until they get the message you're not selling it to them, either with a child or with an adult with a child. And if they continue, then I bring the picture of my son, and I'll put it right in their face, and I'll say, do you see this pig? And I, Phil, there's nothing that breaks my heart more than to call my own son a pig. But I will say to these adults, do you see this pig? Because that's what that kid you're with. And I'll point to the child, and I forgive me for using this kind of harsh language, but I'll say, that's what that's going to look like.
That's what that's going to look like.
That's what the child is going to look like. And 99.9% of the time we shake hands, and they realize it's been a big misunderstanding, and they are happy not to buy that candy for their child so it doesn't turn into this thing that I've got a picture of, which is my son, and I love him very much.
Robert Green with us. He has taken the step that some other stores are taking. He refuses now to sell candy to children. He also refuses to sell candy to any adult that is accompanied by a child. And he is calling for the prohibition of the sale of candy to children nationally because recent studies show candy, sugar, junk food sugar, is as addictive as cocaine. All right. Let's get into this, because when you talk about prohibiting anything, man, it's a very, very, you know, it's a big, big, it's a tough road to hoe. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And certainly having some kind of a, you know, carding kids for candy and taking it out of their hands and taking it out of the hands of the parents, this is a pretty aggressive policy there at his stores throughout the Southwest, Fraser Foods. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And don't forget, tell your local station you want the Phil Hendry Show live. You want it live, baby. You tell your local station, you bother them with phone calls, you bother them with emails, you bother them with regular mail until they finally get the message. You want the Phil Hendry Show live on your local station. All right, 877-876-PHIL. With us is Robert Green from Fraser Foods, the CEO there of one of the larger grocery chains of the Southeast. The study released today saying that junk food, especially candy, is as addictive as cocaine, has led Bob and some other stores across the country to prohibit the sale of candy to children, directly to children, or any adult with children. And you have used your own son, who is, you say, morbidly obese, as an example to these parents.
Well, I have, Phil. I've had my own son come into the store. I've had Robert come in and sit on a stool between our number four and number five checkout stands for a good part of the day. And we will have a sign that he will either hang around his neck, or we put it up near the candy stand that says, if you allow your children to continue to go over to this candy rack, this is what they're going to look like. And this is my own son. And this is a very...
That's got to be painful for you and for him.
It's painful for both of us, but I got no choice. I made a big mistake as a father, and now my son is morbidly obese, and I let these parents know, take a good long look, because as long as your child is bothering me and my checkers with candy that they should not be buying, unabated, they're going to wind up looking just like this. And we got an arrow, and we used two different signs on either side of the checker pointing to him.
877-876-PHIL. You're taking candy out of the kids' hands, too, aren't you?
Yeah, we go right up to the tray. If the child is at the candy stand and the candy, I should say, the candy rack, and they're going to put the candy there, we will take it out of their hand. If we are behind the check stand, we'll go and take it off the belt and put it back. A lot of these children get upset, and that's not anything for us to get worried about because they're children, and I'm not really concerned with how they feel. I am concerned with how the parents feel, but I'm not going to allow the parents to buy candy for a kid that I already said no to. And that, and of course, that's the other issue.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the Phil Henry Show. Let's go to a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. Daniel, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Green.
Hey, Phil. Just want, you know, I love the
yes,
show,
sir.
And I like coming home at night and watching and listening to it. I mean, I don't know who he is and who he really thinks he is. I mean, this is, you cannot do this. I mean, this is, candy to children is just something that goes apart with growing up. And, I mean, to not.
Right, and, maybe so does smoking cigarettes, maybe taking heroin. But no, we're not going to have you or your kid get fat just so the rest of society can pay for it.
No, I do.
Good point. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Kathy. Kathy in Ashland, Kentucky. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi. I was listening to the discussion about the candy police, and I just think that's totally
candy,
wrong.
I haven't heard that one before.
The candy police. sounds pretty apt, though.
I think one of the biggest problems with kids today, and the reason that they are so much more obese than they were a few years ago, is the constant use of computers, the constant use of video games. Kids used to get outside and be active, ride bikes, play games, and so forth, and now they've just kind of, you know, dumbed down to just using their fingers, you know, and the rest of their body doesn't even get exercise.
That's nice. That has nothing to do, though, with what we're talking about.
Well, what she's saying...
No, I know what she's saying, but it's irrelevant. We're talking about junk food being as addictive as heroin, to the point where these children are going to keep packing these calories in, and it doesn't really matter. You know that no kid is going to be out there running 3 miles a day.
No, the kids did used to go outside, and, you know, I think parents...
Well, that's fine. I mean, I can't go into your home and make your kid run, but what I can do is keep your kid from coming into my store and buying this food that is going to turn him into my son. My own son, my flesh and blood, which is over 300 pounds.
Okay, and
I got to be honest with you. I can't even refer to my son as him so much as I refer to him as it.
And well, that's demeaning to him,
and
though,
you know,
and it's demeaning to you.
That's a comment that I wanted to make also. You know, if I were your son and I was hearing you on the radio calling him a pig and an it because he has a weight problem, that would be extremely upsetting to me to think you have no more respect for me than that. I mean, that would terribly upset me.
I hear you.
I don't think that's wrong.
Well, I hear you, ma'am. I know how you feel. I'm out of options, though. He, because of this unrestrained eating of this garbage that I sell in my store, I still sell it in my store. Because of that, he turned into this thing. Now,
and
I love him. He's my son.
Calling your child an object?
Well, let me ask
you something,
ma'am.
If someone already has a weight problem, and then you insult them on top of that, the only thing that's going to do is cause them to feel guilt, cause them to feel depression, and that's going to make the drive to eat the junk food even more. They need support,
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. I mean, it's neurotic, right, Kathy, is what you're saying. It becomes a neurotic thing.
Well,
especially coming from your own parent. I mean, if your parents are going to do that to you, where do you have to go?
Ma'am, forgive me, but you and Mr. Henry are giving these fat pigs an excuse to look like the way they do. Now, my son is a pig, but I love him. My son will always be, until he loses the weight, he's always going to be just a slug. But I love him.
If you can call him names like that, I question that.
No. Excuse me, ma'am, but I love my son enough to put him on display in front of people and to say,
and
you
make
want
him
your
an
kid to look like that?
And make him an
what
embarrassment.
What does that do to... Does he go home and eat more?
I don't know what he does. I tell him to, as soon as his shift ends, I say, get out of here. I don't know where he goes or what he does.
Well, Bob, there's money that says he goes home and eats more. or go someplace where you won't see him and eats more because of what you put him through.
And I say you and that lady are exhibiting the kind of liberal political point of view that has caused this problem.
All right, Kathy, thank you so much for your call. We'll be back with Bob Green, not selling candy to kids, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
With me is Robert Green. Mr. Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. They're headquartered in Buena Park. We're talking about his prohibition, along with other grocers, of selling candy to children. That is junk food at the checkout stand, these Skittles, these M&Ms. No more sales to them, as well as no more sales to adults who are accompanied by children. So you're not going to sell them candy. And you even have your own son. I want to get into the topic of your son here, if I could.
Well, I didn't want to come on. I don't want to humiliate my son, but you asked me about my son. And
well, you don't want to humiliate your son, Bob. I understand that. But you're having him sit between checkout stands with a sign around his neck.
That is correct, yes.
And you say you love your son.
I love my son more than anything. He is my life. But now I have to save his life, and this is the only way to save his life. And I'm trying to keep the parents out there listening to me tonight who have children that run over to that candy at the checkout stand. They run over to that display. They take the candy. They put it on the belt. The parents don't do anything about it. You might as well take a copy of the photograph of my son that I have. Take a copy for yourself and put it up in your bedroom or put it up in your... because you're looking at your own kid. That's what it's going to look like if that's what you're going to do. And bringing my son down to the store on Saturdays to sit for a couple of hours, or with a sign around his neck that says, this is what it'll look like. I don't think it's going to.
The use of this neutral term, it.
There comes a time when your child has put on so much weight, you have to drive the message home to them. They have ceased. They are an object of curiosity.
Well, to me, it sounds like a freak show.
Mr. Henry, my son is not the Elephant Man, all right? I hear a lot of people thinking that I'm putting him on display like he's... if you ever saw this movie...
Yeah, I saw the Elephant Man, and it sounds a little bit like that, like you would put your son on display. I know that you're not trying to collect money because he's a freak. I think you're trying to illustrate something, but how do people know the difference?
I'm not standing there and going, I want my man back, you know, as Anthony Hopkins in that movie. Because I saw the movie where that guy's head was... I don't know if you saw the movie.
Yes, I saw the movie, and I read about John Merrick. It's a horribly sad tale, which fortunately has some kind of a happy ending.
What happy ending? On the Elephant Man?
I'm not here to talk about that, though, Bob.
No, but I'm just curious.
The story of the Elephant Man had a relatively happy ending. He became, he lived at the hospital. He got to know the Queen of England.
You call, well, oh, no, I thought you said they cured him or something.
No, they're not going to. They can't cure him.
Well, that's the only happy... If you got a head the size of that, I don't understand. But the point that I'm saying here...
Get off the Elephant Man here for a minute. We're talking about your son being on display.
On display, so somebody else's kid doesn't turn into that.
877-876-PHIL, the Phil Hendry Show. Let's move on to another call here. Felicia in San Antonio. You're on with Robert Green. Felicia, hello.
Hi, I need to tell this man, has he thought about how he is going to endanger his employees? Today's folks don't play. Over a bag of candy, someone can get so upset and come just blow someone away for a bag of candy.
Wait,
I mean, those are your
robbery.
Employees. Those are your employees. How dare you?
You're
now you want
armed
to
robbery?
To sit up there over something
the thing is, there's a cop. We'll call a cop if somebody pulls a gun. What would you do?
Well, we ain't got time to be calling no police today, sir. You need to take care of this matter in a different way. You need help, and you're using your
son. Wait a minute.
Your son to defend something that you permitted him to do when he was young. You know, you're out of your scope.
I did, but I don't anymore. I don't anymore. I've got to use him for whatever good he can do.
Think of your
now he's too large.
Child Protective Service got to come and take that child from you. He needs protection now from you. Have a good evening.
He's 24, ma'am. What do you mean, Child Protective Service? And to answer the lady's point, Phil,
what?
They got to pay for the candy bar first. If I don't let them have that candy bar, I've just saved them money.
All right, 8778, that's true, but I think what the lady is saying, taking candy out of a child's hand.
And someone's going to pull a gun on me? You know what, Phil, I will only respond by saying this. People can do whatever they want to do, but anybody that pulls a gun on me better be fast.
Well.
They better be quick. Better be real quick. Because I am 5'9", but I have very quick moves. Now, my son's mother was taller than me. I'll go ahead and admit that. She was 5'10", and she was the size of him. Does this give you an idea? Because, see, people are blaming me that I let him eat junk food.
You said that you let him eat junk food. Now you're blaming it on heredity?
No, I'm saying it was junk food, but his mother was pretty big. I mean, pretty big. For a woman, real big.
I don't know what that means.
She was huge. And I'm not...
Was she overweight? Bob, was she overweight?
I wouldn't say she was overweight. She was just huge.
So was it genetics or was it the fact the kid eats?
The kid ate, but his mother was big.
877-876-PHIL. I think that what the lady said, though, about the people having candy taken from their kids' hands, she made a good point. Mark in Berkeley, California, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Mark, go ahead.
Good evening. How are you?
Yes, sir. Fine.
I think it's very commendable what the gentleman is doing, having concern for other people's children. But listen.
Thank you very much.
One thing I have yet to hear him say is to blame himself for what occurred to his son. Because, see, he had the ability to see it happening. You know, he saw this happening.
That is true.
It wasn't something that just happened overnight. So, I've yet to hear him talk about himself or blame himself throughout this whole show. He wants to give his son a label. He wants to berate him. But he should really berate himself also.
Well, I think it's a good point, but his mother was constantly enabling this behavior. She, as I said,
Somebody was there in authority that saw this happening. You cannot tell me this. This whole show wouldn't be happening if whoever was in charge was doing their job. That's why I think.
Well, you're going to have to go talk to my wife. She's huge, you know.
Are you blaming your wife? Or are you blaming? I heard you earlier, Bob, say that it was your fault.
Yes, it was my fault insofar as I was also the boy's son. And I'm doing what I can now by having him come to work at the store.
What does he do at the store?
I told you what he does at the store.
That's what you call having him come to work at the store? He sits on a stool with a sign around his neck?
Mr. Hendry, when you're 320 pounds, but are you telling me I'm going to have to stock shelves or make a run for the, for the top ramen noodles? I've got him sitting on a stool, with a sign that says, this is what it's going to look like if you let it eat the kind of food that I let it eat. Now, having said that, wherever his mother is, and God knows where that is, she's to blame too.
Wherever his mother is. All right, Mark, thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Timothy in Tucson, listening to us on KJLL. Timothy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, I love the show. I like to think that this kid should take his dad to a domestic violence class and put a sign around his neck and have him sit down there and say, this is what you don't want to become with mental abuse that you're giving that kid. You're not getting anywhere with him having him sit down in a chair. If you want him to lose weight and feel good about himself, make him do something productive at work.
I am, as far as I can tell.
Having him sit on a chair?
I mean, what do you want me to do?
Should we start putting big signs on offensive linemen and security guards and law officers and everything else, too? Or
I don't know. I don't know. All I'm trying to do is keep kids from eating junk food so they don't turn into these monstrosities that we're looking at. Sir, there are news items every day now. Children in America are overweight. Children in America are fat as hell. They don't say that, but they say children in America are fat and get fatter all the minute. Every minute of the day they're getting fatter. What are we supposed to do? So I take my son, and I go, I made a mistake. I let my son eat Skittles and M&Ms. Now take a look at it. Do you want your kid to look like that? I don't think so. And that may be when I take the candy out of a kid's hand, the parent will think about how big my son is and won't want to, you know, pull a gun on me like that other guy said.
I don't know. You're causing my kids a lot more harm than good. I can tell you that.
My own son, he's 24 years old. But what else, you know, he's living at home right now because his mother was fat. And I'm not kidding.
Are you saying it's the mother?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's that? I know. His mother.
Are you saying it's his mother's fault or his or your fault?
On balance?
On balance.
I'd say it's more his mother's fault just because she ate. There wasn't a plate of food that was on a table, and it could have been sitting in front of somebody else that she didn't think she owned.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much for your call. Let's go over to Tom. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene. And this is changing, Bob. First you're saying it was the junk food. Now you're saying it's the size of the mother.
No, it was the junk food, but his mom is big.
Tom, go ahead.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm really distraught on this. My son was overweight for some years, and his mother is overweight as well. But I never in my life blamed either one of them. I mean, the parent's job is to make sure that you take care of your child and maintain what they eat and how much they eat. That's part of being a parent. So it's the parent's problem. Don't blame it on the candy bar.
Wife,
it's not the candy bar's problem. It's the parent's problem. Whether they get the candy bar
if your wife,
at some other store, they're going to get a candy bar if they want it bad enough. They don't have to buy it at your
that's
store.
That's true. Well, that's right.
So you're not
At least I can say they didn't buy it at Bob Green's store. If I see a fat kid go, excuse my language, I see a fat kid go down the street, at least I can say I didn't do that. You know, somebody else.
No, you didn't
do
that whether you sell a candy bar or not. You didn't do that. That was the parents' fault.
Well, now, see, that's what you're saying what I've been saying. Your wife was fat, right? So you know it was more her fault because she's the one that shoveled all that food
into it.
No, that's not what the man said. He said it wasn't her fault, and it wasn't the candy bar's fault.
Why are you letting your wife off the hook?
Why am I letting my wife off, too? Because she didn't make him fat.
Did you not just tell me that she's big, too?
You bet she's big.
And how did she get big? How did she get big? Because she...
Everybody gets big. Sometimes women have thyroid problems. And there's other issues
That thyroid problem is real.
Yeah, okay, it's real. Thyroid problems are real. Yeah, okay, it's real. And you know what? Someday we may discover life on other planets. But the fact...
No, thyroid conditions are absolutely real.
Well, but this gentleman wants to let his wife off the hook while she was sitting there eating comfort food and she wanted somebody to eat with her, so it was the kid. You don't see that, sir.
You're incorrect, and don't put words in my mouth, because that is not what happened.
I don't know what happened.
Overweight because of my doing and my
wife's
doing. It had nothing to do with anybody else.
More your wife's doing than you're doing.
That's what you don't understand. This man is saying he's not blaming his wife.
He's not blaming his wife, but he says it's her fault. I don't get that.
No, I did not. I never said it was her fault.
She was coming home with the big bags of the tiny Milky Ways. Didn't you say that?
No, I did not say that.
Well, then I'm hearing things.
Yeah, you must be hearing things because he never said that. Tom, thank you so much. Tom, how's your son now? Is he still overweight?
No, actually, he's a football player and he's big. He's not overweight, but he's a big boy. I mean, broad shoulders. You know, big build.
Uh-huh, good.
This is Bob Green. Does your wife play any sports?
What is that supposed to mean?
No. I'm just kidding.
All right, no, that's fine. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We don't need that kind of joking when we're talking about the health of children.
Mr. Hendry, I don't see you not feeding kids candy. I don't see this gentleman. I'm the one that has prohibited the sale of candy to children. Me, Bob Green. The head of Fraser Foods, the CEO. I'm the one. So when people call up and give me a hard time and tell me that I'm the closest thing to Satan walking the earth, because I tell kids...
Nobody has said that, Bob. What people are saying, though, is that you have to exercise the limits that a parent must put on a child, and to say, well, his mother was fat, so therefore that's why he got fat, and I didn't do it, and then to put him on display in the store with a sign around his neck that says, this is what your kid will look like. I think there's some things you need to consider here. Robert Green with us from Fraser Foods on his decision to, throughout the chain, his store's chain, prohibit selling candy to children under 18. No more Skittles, no more M&Ms, none of the stuff there from the display cases at the checkout stand. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Robert Green in a moment. More of your phone calls.
His mother was huge. I mean, she was huge.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's an interesting theory. I have Robert Green with me on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods. We're talking up here about the study that junk food is as addictive as cocaine. You have no problem with humiliating a kid?
Well, Phil, what would you do?
I mean, telling a kid that he's a fat oaf?
Would you rather the kid die of cancer or a heart attack?
What kid is going to die of a heart attack from obesity? Look, the problem with obesity is that it gets worse and worse and worse. Don't you want to put that kid through some kind of a regimen that requires physical discipline?
A regimen that requires physical... You think you're running a training camp for the Green Bay Packers or something.
No, I'm not. I'm simply saying, don't you think it's going to get more results?
I'm saying to you that whatever keeps a kid alive... And more importantly, whatever keeps a kid from becoming a burden on society. When you sell a kid his bag of M&Ms and Skittles, that's one more step toward him becoming something in a hoveround. And I don't mean to be...
What do you mean?
I mean, you've seen people that are so overweight. They are so overweight, they can't even be bothered taking one step. They don't want to walk. They'll just sit in a hoveround. My son, and I am proud of this... And I told him, you can eat as much as you want, but you will never, ever not take a step. You have to take at least a step, and then you can sit in your hoveround.
Are you talking about those electric carts?
Yes.
Well, what do you mean you're going to have to take a step?
You get so fat that you just give up on walking.
I thought that those people were in those things because they can't walk.
No, they know how to walk. They just gave up on it.
So you're telling me you tell your son he has to take at least one step?
At least, is that asking too much when I say to my own son, you are so huge. I mean, you're even bigger than your mother. I'm joking about it. His mother wasn't that big, but I'm making a joke. I'm trying to lighten it up. Because I remember that line from Yaphet Kotto in Alien when he said, it's huge. You know, it's as big as a man. But I'm saying that my son, I say to him, you know, you want to sit in your little electric cart, that's fine. You have to at least take one step toward the refrigerator. You're not taking the whole trip over there in a golf cart.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a caller here, Vera in Fresno, California. Vera, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I just, first of all, want to make sure that I get a chance to speak because this gentleman seems to always be interrupting everyone that speaks.
Well, I know the facts.
Okay. Okay, so no, here's in my opinion, you are being a hypocrite. First of all, you have a store where you sell candy, and you're saying that you want to help all these children, that you're out to help them, yet you continue to sell that candy. So if you really, really want to help somebody, you'd remove that candy off the shelf. The other thing is here you
doesn't
are
work that way.
Talking and demeaning your son in that way. You can't even help your son, and you want everyone else to believe that you're really trying to help another child? The help starts at home. And if you can't help your own child, how can you help anyone else?
Ma'am, I'm helping my son. I told you that if he wants to use his hoveround, he has to take one, at least walk a step. That's
no,
number one.
I get that. I get that.
Right.
But the problem is that he is so, you demean him so much. that it is,
well,
it
ma'am,
is sad. It
do
is
you want your kid looking
see.
Like that?
No, no, you listen to me. It is very sad that you're doing that to that child. Yes, he's 24 years old now. But you know what? You've demeaned him so much, and I only feel that you must have had a really bad life to continue that vicious circle that you're doing.
I've had a great life. The only thing wrong with my life is that I married his mother, and I don't even mind marrying. His mother was a wonderful woman, but she was, I'm telling you, she was way too big.
He must have been a wonderful woman to even consider you at all. But you know what? You go back
I'm the one that
first you blame your wife, then you blame yourself. You just have no clue what's going on. You just you must be in desperate need of attention or something because you're hurting the child. Like I said, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite, sir. Because
no,
if you
I
really
had the candy in the store to help them get the discipline not to buy it. So if
oh,
a kid sees
please.
The Skittles, if the kid sees
please.
The Skittles and says, no, I'll resist buying it,
no, it's
he gets
very
discipline.
Obvious to everybody that's listening. That you're coming across as the vicious
can I,
man.
Can I ask you a question?
No
let's,
clue.
Let's get down to it. Do you
and
own a
you know
hover
what?
End?
The, I
you
have
own a hover
movie.
End, don't you? You own a hover end. I know
mm-hmm.
you do. That's why you're getting upset, because you own a hover end. Don't you?
Phil Hendry. Learn more at talkradionetwork.com. Shores El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This news, talk, and entertainment show taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we know what we're talking about on this show. We even know what we're talking about when we ain't talking about anything, which gives us a leg up on most of the competition. Thank you for joining us. Phil Hendry here in our News and Information Hour. We'll have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And for those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD, occasionally I throw it over onto what we call our Camera 1 view. Camera 1 is a side view, and you'll see me doing sometimes something here with my left hand. Those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD, you can see my left hand. And Robert, you're going to say something?
Yeah, we got a lot of people. One guy want to know if you have, like, Parkinson's.
Well, of course he knows that I don't have Parkinson's. If I had Parkinson's, it would be far more evident than just a left hand. But it is a... It is a motion that you will find many people in radio, music, whatever, especially radio. We do a lot of things with our hands that don't make sense. It looks sort of strange. Don't be afraid. It's just as I'm talking, you know, I'll be grabbing something. I guess I'm saying too much here.
Yeah, it's starting to be embarrassing.
Well, okay. In any event, so now you know. Some guy, no, seriously, somebody thought that, what's Phil doing there with his left hand? It's just a nervous, it's not even nervous, it's when you're talking and you're not talking as in a normal conversation, but you're talking to make sure that the momentum of the show is moving forward to whatever degree that you can make that happen. You are, there's kind of a physical thing that's going on as well. I can't explain it, forget it, why did I even bring it up?
That guy thought you had Parkinson's.
He didn't really think I had Parkinson's. He's just a jackass. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We do want to talk a little bit about the debates this evening. We're going to do that. There's a very interesting story in the news about the federal government investigating Maricopa County Sheriff's Office of Joe Arpaio. Get ready for that. The federal government investigating the Maricopa County Sheriff's office that is run by Sheriff Joe Arpaio, because they feel there may have been some civil rights violations there. So what's going on with that? And we'll get into that. The passing of Christopher Hitchens, who I admired, who I felt was one of the more, you know, it's very difficult to find an honest man in the middle of all of this folderol. Everybody is looking just to win popularity contests. Christopher Hitchens was a admitted leftist. He was an admitted left winger. Everything that people would probably despise, you know, many people who are, well, for instance, listeners to talk radio. And yet, the reason why I admired Christopher Hitchens was because even as a leftist, he knew that the natural enemy of leftists were fascists. And so he supported the war in Iraq. He supported the war on terror. He supported President Bush in those efforts. And he made very, very compelling and convincing arguments in support, because he said these are fascists, and those of us who have conscience, those of us who are so-called left-wing, we fight fascists. And in fact, he led a group of intellectuals, all of them identified as socialists and leftists. He led them in the signing of a document, a declaration, if you will, at the beginning of the Iraq War in support of it. Very, very rare. I don't think probably most of you ever even heard of it. You've heard of Christopher Hitchens. I would recommend that you read his. I read his biography of Thomas Jefferson, and I was at first reluctant because I thought, what is that about? You know, Christopher Hitchens, he adopted America as his own country. I believe he became an American citizen. But his biography of Jefferson was very, very good. It was really honest, and I liked it. So Christopher Hitchens has passed on. We'll talk about that. I want to bring on our show here this evening at the Phil Henry Show, and our number is open at 877-876-PHIL. We have Chris Jekyll, who is a journalist and has written a book that I think is fascinating. And I picked up the book and read a few pages of it, Chris, just before we came on the air. It's called The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good, Phil. The book has been out for a week now, called The Loss of Civility, The Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century, because it's a book that I think we need, and the loss of manners, just good manners, and the way we treat each other, and the fact that we have so many young people who come up these days looking at the behavior of adults who have no idea what gracious behavior is, what good manners are, the use of proper language, not using obscenities, not using the profanities in public. And it also was a book that was inspired by experiences of my own, because of I have a little bit of an unusual last name. And I was very shocked, to be honest with you, how quickly people, because they're so childish, are going to jump all over someone's name, and they're going to behave in the most rude possible fashion. So I felt that we needed a book that was going to address all of these needs. And in this book, I hope we've done that.
The Loss of Civility. So, in other words, we have a manners problem.
So, and I don't think I had to write a book to tell people that. What this book does is it breaks down what has happened and why things like that have happened, and who's to blame, and who are the parents that are to blame, as opposed to the teachers, as opposed to other authority figures. Is it a government problem? We have so many people that love to blame government for everything. I think sometimes we blame government for things that we shouldn't. I think in this instance, this is not a government problem. This is a problem of parenting, and it's a problem of I think it's the problem, Phil, of the underclasses or the lower class or the working class, however you want to call it, not caring as much as they used to, because the underclass in the old days would say, well, someday I want my son or my daughter to become middle class or upper class. I want them to have money, and I want them to learn the social graces, and so they would be very careful in teaching that to the kids. But today, it seems that that kind of education is not there anymore.
All right, we're talking here with Chris Jekyll, who has written the book Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. Now, I want to ask you, Chris, you said because you have an unusual last name. Your last name is Jekyll. It doesn't seem unusual to me.
Well, because of the Robert Louis Stevenson book.
You mean Dr. Jekyll?
The Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and there was a cartoon character, Heckle and Jekyll, and people like to have some fun with a name like that, and I knew growing up that it was going to be a problem for me, and it has become a problem, but in a way that I never anticipated. The level of immaturity, I don't mind people making jokes, I think we all make jokes, but when someone has an unusual last name, when you're in grade school, you think that they're going to make jokes, but never do you think you're going to have it become a problem in your adult life. And I was inspired to write the book when I had a run-in with a neighbor's son who came to our front door and had knocked on the front door. And I've known this young man for a number of years. And he said to me, I opened the door, and I thought, I don't know who this is. It could be a tradesperson or something. It was a Saturday morning, and I opened the door, and he was standing there. This young fellow is...
And he's a neighbor.
He was a neighbor of ours, yes, and I know his parents very well. And I was there, and he said, and again, it's childish, and I suppose people get a laugh out of it, but what they don't understand is that it is harassment. It can lead to, not only is it harassment, but it leads to a sense that you're not safe, and you begin to take matters into your own hands.
What happened?
I heard a knock on the door. A kid comes to the door, and he says, Mr. Jekyll, and I said, hi. He said, is Mr. Hyde home? And it sounds funny now, but when you are at the entrance to your door, to your home, your wife and kids are asleep, you feel pretty naked, and you don't know what's going to happen. I instinctively grabbed this young man by his shirt, and I started to pull him into the house, and in so doing, his head hit the door, the side of the door, the door jamb. And I pulled him in, his head hitting that, but I can tell you that I was feeling like I needed to act, and I...
Now, I got to interrupt you here for a moment. The young man that you're talking about, this neighbor, said, is Mr. Hyde home? He was making a joke about your name, Jekyll.
That is correct, yes. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I'm not a doctor, but I've had people call me that, Dr. Jekyll, and that's when the harassment really began, you know, when you're younger. And you are going to school, and you're engaging your classmates and so forth, or you're going out, you're for the very first time in your life, you're going out socially with a young lady. And people, the cruelty that began when I was very young was something that I was able to deal with. But when you've got a girlfriend saying, calling you Dr. Jekyll, you have the your friends calling you Dr. Jekyll, it beats you down, and it...
All right, I realize we get some background going here, Chris, but I wanted to find a little bit out. So when this kid called you Mr. Hyde, you then reached out and grabbed him?
It was instinctive, yeah. It was a fight-or-flight instinct. We deal with this in the loss of civility in the book when someone calls you, and we've all had this problem. Look, take a look at race relations in America, Phil. Look at black people, and look at Hispanic people, and look at our Asian people, or Jewish people. You know, you have a fight or flight instinct when someone calls you a name, and you know that the intention behind that is not friendly, and so you tense. I can well imagine if I were black and someone were to call me the N-word, I would tense, ready for anything, because anyone that would say that openly is unpredictable, and I think you have to be ready. When this boy came to our house, that's not the same thing. We're not talking about the N-word here. We're not talking about...
No, we're not talking about anything racial at all.
No, we are not. We absolutely not, Phil, but we are talking about something that someone has brazenly said to you to mock your family name on a Saturday morning. As you open the door to your home, where you are the only line of defense between yourself and your wife and sleeping children. So I opened the door, and he said, hi, Mr. Jekyll, is Mr. Hyde home? And anybody would laugh were it not them.
I mean, I hear that, and my instinct is to laugh, yeah, but you're saying...
Well, of course, your instinct is to laugh. You're not the man standing at the door. Your name isn't Jekyll.
No, I understand that. So when you hear this, because I want to see this, my audience, I'm sure, wants to see this and hear this from your point of view.
Yes.
Okay, so you open the door. He says, hi, Mr. Jekyll. You know this young man.
Yeah, I know him very, very well. I don't want to use the family name, and for obvious reasons, even though they've used my name in interviews that they've done with the media since this took place, and in their lawsuit, they have...
So they're suing you.
Oh, by all means, they're suing me, and they're going to lose because they were the ones that harassed me. They're suing me for, I don't know... The assault was not really, I was not charged with any assault by the police. And that's my ace in the hole. I'm going to say to them that, you know.
All right, I don't want to get too far afield again of our discussion here. These are other matters, the lawsuit and your relations with his family. I understand all of that, but I do want to, oh, you know, we're running out of time here. Tell you what, let me give our number out, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The book is called The Loss of Civility. Mr. Chris Jekyll is with us, who basically assaulted a neighbor's son when that young man called you Mr. Hyde. And as funny as that may be for the rest of us, for you, it was an assault, and it was a frightening experience.
It was very frightening. And again, put yourself in the shoes of a black man or a Hispanic man who's been called these names. I'm not black or Hispanic, but when I was gay, as Mr. Hyde home, the first reaction I had was I need to neutralize the threat.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I got so engrossed in what he was saying, and also we were fooling around with Bud and Robert at the beginning of the show. We will get more into Chris Jekyll's story. His book is called The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. If your name is Jekyll and someone calls you Mr. Hyde, is this an assault? An assault in terms of bad manners like profanity? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we'll probably do a little bit of resetting here on our topic because we got into a bunch of other business when we started the show this evening. But we do have with us Chris Jekyll, a journalist and a man who's written a book called The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. The way that we talk to each other, Chris, I imagine, is one of the areas that you deal with.
There's a lot of different things in the book, but the way that we talk to each other, the way that we, do we respect each other? Do we offer just normal respect? Normal, decent respect is missing in our society. Normal, decent behavior, I don't think anybody would disagree with that, is missing in our society. We have young people who wear as a badge of individuality, and there's nothing individual about it at all. They're just like a bunch of sheep doing the same thing. You talk about drinking the Kool-Aid, you know. And when here's a young man coming to my front door on a Saturday morning, I know him, so I trust him, and I'm going to open my door to him. And I know him and trust him, and my wife knows him and trusts him. My kids do. I've got two children, so I'm going to open my door to him. And my last name being Jekyll means that there is always the opportunity to make a joke, I guess, about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Now, I haven't heard that joke. I had people when I was a kid call me Dr. Jekyll. But now we're getting into an area that is an insult to me because he's referencing the evil side. If you know the story, Phil.
Yeah, we know the story. I mean, Dr. Jekyll is the normal doctor who is experimenting in his laboratory there in London. Robert Louis Stevenson's book was a bestseller back in the 19th century when it came out, and the man is experimenting with the animal side?
Yes, he's looking into the sort of the antimatter of human nature. Is there a beast within that we can release? Well, this is what this boy was referencing when he came to my door with my family asleep. And he said to me with a straight face, "Is Mr. Hyde home?" He's asking me if Mr. Hyde is home. He was joking. I knew he was joking. But he, in so asking that question and really making that joke is what he was doing, he's saying that I am more animal than he is. And
do you really hear that? I mean, I don't know. Is that... Does that...
You don't know until you've walked a mile in a man's shoes, Phil, which is really what the book, a lot of what my book is about. So you can say, well, am I making a big issue? Unless you are black, you don't know what it's like being called the N-word. Unless you're Hispanic, you don't know what it's like to be called some of these names that people call you. unless you are Chris Jekyll and you've lived with the people, adults and children, calling you Dr. Jekyll until the joke is really old, and then all of a sudden a young man who you've trusted, and by the way, my daughter has gone on social activities with this young boy, and now he's coming to my house and saying, "Hi, Mr. Jekyll, is Mr. Yes, Dr. Jekyll, I think he's, is Mr. Hyde home?" My reaction was to reach out, grab him by the shirt, because the first thing you're thinking, and I want you to write this down, there's people who are listening, write this down. The first thing you want to do is grab him by the shirt or grab him by his hair and pull him closer to you so you've got him within reach and you can deal with him.
And well, you grabbed him and pulled him and his head hit the door jamb.
That is correct, yes. In retrospect, was it a smart move? It probably was, because I didn't know what to expect from him. And in order to get him under control, the fact that his head hit that door jamb, he was stunned for a moment, and perhaps that was a blessing. I don't know. I'm obviously the object of litigation because of that. Am I sorry I reacted that way? No, I'm not, because I have a wife and children sleeping just steps behind me. And
and I want to talk about this. When we come back, we have to take another break, and we're going to get to some phone calls as well, because people are going to want to ask you. When your name is Chris Jekyll, and people are calling you Dr. Jekyll, and one day somebody comes to your house and calls you Mr. Hyde, okay, and it is a joke, and you acknowledge that.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay. You also were saying, though, that Mr. Hyde is the negative aspect of Dr. Jekyll, so therefore you're being sort of taunted as some kind of an animal.
Not only that, it's not just a taunt, it's a reference to me as some sort of a base or baser than a base animal than this young man. So, yeah.
All right, and so you felt at that moment you needed to act physically.
I did, because I didn't know what his next move was going to be.
All right. We're talking with Chris Jekyll here, the author of Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. His name, Jekyll, he's gotten jokes about his name, just as an example, through his life as Dr. Jekyll. He had a neighbor's son come to his house and knock on his door early one Saturday morning and say, you know, refer to him as Mr. Hyde. His response was to physically attack this young man. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Our live streaming video of the show is happening right now. It is Phil TV in HD. We're talking here with Chris Jekyll, the author of The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century, and how we are not treating each other with any kind of dignity or respect. And there's the use of language, the profanity, the obscenity, the sloppy, slob-like behavior, whereas there was a time when we behaved well. You are bringing out of your own life an incident that occurred, Chris, that a young boy came to the door because of your last name is Jekyll, and the kid said, is Mr. Hyde home? And you felt you needed to take some action. And
I did, Phil, but I want you to know, I say young boy, his name is, I'll give the first name of the young man, his first name is Joshua, and he was 17, so he's technically a minor, but big enough to come into that house and do some damage if I didn't preempt him. That's why I grabbed him, pulled him with my left hand as hard as I could, because I was literally balancing a couple of books in the other hand, and I was making breakfast for the kids, too, and his head hit that jam. I felt bad later, but at the time I thought I got myself a little bit of breathing room by stunning him, because if he's going to come to the front door and refer to me as Mr. Hyde, which is the twisted, perverted, sexually perverted, opposite side of Dr. Jekyll, I don't know what else he's capable of.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to get to a phone call here and just talk to some other folks here about this. We have Catherine on the line. Hi, Catherine. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so what I was saying was that I agree that there's lack of civility, but I think that the reaction on the part of Mr. Jekyll is a bit extreme, and that he was reacting rather than being proactive. And I think
this is Chris, Catherine. Can you tell me when you say extreme, what do you mean?
Well, I think it's just kind of ridiculous because he acknowledged that the boy was joking, and I'm not even sure that the boy even knew who Mr. Hyde was,
it's obvious. Well, of course he did, because he said, "Hi, Mr. Jekyll. Where's Mr. Hyde?" I don't know that it could be any more obvious. To your other point that he was joking. Well, surely we know, Catherine, that people are joking when they call someone the N-word, or they're joking. I think we need to learn that even with a joke, we can hurt.
Well, to Catherine's point here, if I could, Chris.
Go ahead, Phil.
I don't know. You grabbed this kid. You bumped his head. You reacted with a fit of violence.
No, I don't know. It was not a fit of violence. Remember, I had a sleeping wife and children in the house. Okay?
Right. You had a sleeping wife and children. He said, "Is Mr. Hyde home?" That's all he said. He did not raise his hands to you.
No, I will admit, I will give you all of that. I'll give you and Catherine all of that. What I'm telling you is I was preemptive. I was preemptive. And in this day and age, and this is the point that my book makes, in this day and age, with the sloppy behavior that people have, you have to be preemptive. And so, Catherine, you can well imagine if your last name was Catherine, if let's say that someone came to your front door, Catherine, and
yes.
They started shaking. They started shaking violently. And asking, "Is Catherine Hepburn home?" Ha ha. Now, Catherine Hepburn had a very serious Parkinson's condition, as you know, if you know of the actress Catherine Hepburn. She shook very violently. That is a very crude and foul joke to make. Woman do? Yes?
I think that the issue belongs to the person who's making the comment and not to me. And I'm just personally tired of the political correctness that's so pervasive, and I think it's ridiculous.
Oh, I agree.
To react.
I agree with you.
Unless the boy had a history of being threatening and you truly feared for your safety,
I didn't,
I think that's an overreaction. And that's
comment. He'd called me Dr. Jekyll many of time.
He'd call you Dr. Jekyll?
Yes, he most certainly did. I find that rude. And then he says, "Is Mr. Hyde home?" And I said, "Well, that's it. That's it. All bets are off. I'm not going to..." And so if Catherine has someone come to her door and say, "Hey, Catherine, is Catherine Hepburn there?" And they start shaking and laughing as if Catherine has Parkinson's disease.
Okay, what about it?
What about it? Well, you need my book too, Phil. And Catherine does too, I think.
All right, Catherine, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Dakota. Dakota, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Jekyll.
Hi. It sounded like you was just trying to make a joke. The kid was 17, and how old are you?
Yes, sir. I'm 51. I'm 51.
That's ridiculous. I mean, it's not like he asked, "Where's your money?" when you opened the door. He acknowledged you.
Oh, no, you're right. But see, one of the reasons for my book, Dakota, is to see the other guy's, to see life from the other guy's shoes. You know, I think that's one of the problems we have when we're rude or if we're, insensitive. So I'm trying to look at this from the other guy's shoes, and I'm asking people to see life through my from my perspective. I'm there. My wife is asleep. My children, I am completely defenseless, and he comes to my door. And
makes a joke.
Youthful,
he makes a joke.
Well, you say it's a joke.
My name's Dakota. My name's Dakota. I live in North Dakota. People come up to me and say, "Which one are you, North or South?" If it's stupid, I just laugh it off and walk away. I'm 19. I have more sense than that. You don't hear
well, I'll tell you why that. I understand that, sir, but I'll tell you why that's not such an offensive joke, because when they say, which one are you, that means they're idiots for not knowing you're not a state, you're a person. In my situation, when he said, is Mr. Hyde there, he's directing that at me, that I'm Hyde. See, anybody who would think you're a state is a blithering idiot. But the
people are kidding when they say, which one are you, north or south?
Right.
Well, no, I know that. I know that. But still, they're saying, hi, look at me, I'm dumb. I don't know which, you know, that you're not a state. See, in this case, they're saying to me, you're Mr. Hyde, which means you're a sexual deviant. It means that you could be some kind of slobbering lout, some sort of lurching thing. You saw the...
So you've taken that name, Hyde, and we all know the character, and you have applied that directly to you, and you say basically what that kid was doing was calling you a name.
Not just calling me a name, no. He was attacking my home.
It sounds like you're being too sensitive to me.
Sir, can I say something to you, sir? Do you think
do you think that
when the Germans rolled into Russia at the beginning of 1941, the Russians were just being too sensitive?
Oh, come on. That's an absurd...
No, Mr. Henry. You know, we do draw many great lessons from World War II, and we're told we can't use that as an example anymore because too many people use Hitler. I'm not using Hitler. I'm just using the German army going into Russia.
What about the German army going into Russia? You're saying that the Russians were...
I'm saying... This gentleman's saying that they're thin-skinned.
No.
Isn't that what you're saying? Isn't that what you're saying?
You're
when
just
I'm attacked
taking
like that?
Too much to heart. He's younger than me. I'm 19. Like,
all right. And the other thing that I want to mention here is they're suing you because when you grabbed that kid's shirt, okay?
I pulled him into the house to have him in a more confined space, so if he pulled anything, I'd be able to deal with him. And in pulling him into the house, he hit his head and was stunned momentarily, and I think they told me he had a concussion. I don't believe it. And
so you gave this kid a concussion as the result of him simply saying, is Mr. Hyde home? Now,
again, you're saying simply, Phil.
Now, all right, but you feel it was a bad thing, and maybe it was. His parents don't get it, and at least two callers to my show now don't get it, you know.
That's why I wrote the book.
It sounds like an auxiliary sentence, please.
Yeah. Sir, a lot of people don't get it. That's why I wrote the book. So you need to read my book, The Loss of Civility. You need to read my book, The Loss of Civility, and you need to look into the loss of civilized behavior in the 20th century, because that's what's going on.
All right, but in the minds of so many people, and let me take a break here, 877-876-PHIL, and thank you, Dakota, for your call. If your name is Jekyll, and a guy comes to the front door and says, is Mr. Hyde home? It is not like he's saying to you, is the sexual deviant and pervert and slouching beast that you are, you know, are you... Well, anyway, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with Chris Jekyll, the author of The Loss of Civility. Bad behavior. His name is Jekyll. Some kid called him Mr. Hyde, and he basically gave the kid a concussion. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I didn't give him a concussion. It wasn't like I gift-wrapped a concussion.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We do have Chris Jekyll on the line with us. The book is called The Loss of Civility, and that is civilized behavior in the 21st century. The loss of civility, which you, Chris, include in that loss of civility, the experience that you had.
Well, you know, I want to say this, Phil. It was not my intention to make my experience the touchstone experience of the book. That's not what my intention was. My intention was simply to use as an example how I've been treated my whole life, because my name is Jekyll, and the juvenile behavior of people saying, where is Mr. Hyde? Where is Mr. Hyde? Hey, is Mr. Hyde home? I reacted the way I think any normal person would react who'd been called a dirty name. To me, the name Hyde is a filthy name because I've been made fun of my whole life. Because I have been the victim of people, accusing me of being Dr. Jekyll. And
well, they're not accusing you of being Dr. Jekyll. They're just saying your last name is Jekyll, ha-ha. You know what I'm saying?
All right, I understand what you're saying. But that's the beginning stages of what we experience in our society, which is this kind of prejudice. And so...
Are you saying that you're the victim of prejudice because your name is Jekyll?
I think that yes, because my name is Jekyll, I am the victim of prejudice the same way that many people whose names are Asian, or the same way that many people whose names are Islamic or Muhammad. A guy whose name is Muhammad, you see. So then comes a man and says, is Mr. Hyde home? And he's laughing, and he doesn't understand, perhaps, that he just called me a filthy pervert. But as soon as I grabbed him and pulled him into the house and bumped his head on the door, he figured it out real fast.
877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm going to go to a phone call now. Tim, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to make a couple points here, and then, feel free to respond. Again, this is my own humble opinion, but this is a verbal altercation. It's somebody you know. And it's not a parking lot in the middle of the night or anything like that. And you essentially took it from a verbal altercation to a physical one.
Yes.
And hold on, against a minor, in addition.
Of course.
Now, when we talk about civility here, we're talking about the way people treat each other, right?
Of course.
Okay, so
of course,
how can you write a book discussing civility and what's wrong with society when, in my humble opinion, again, you've contributed to that loss of civility by escalating this altercation from verbal to physical.
No, I did not. The loss of civility began...
Well, no, literally, you did escalate it, though.
Me,
you took it from verbal to physical. So,
well, he called me Mr. Hyde, which is like the N-word.
No,
a man.
It's not. And that's the other point I had, and then I'll wrap it up. You're comparing yourself to somebody who has a racial slur tossed at them. This isn't a slur. It's a name.
Only because my name is Jekyll, and so when you've gone through your entire life being called Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, and now comes a man who says, is Mr. Hyde home? You are, yes, it is an insult that I would not imagine anybody would understand were their name not Jekyll.
Well, that's...
For example, I have a slightly misshapen head. And all throughout childhood, I got teased about it. You know what I did? I grew longer hair. I didn't, into my 50s, start assaulting people because they said something.
You have a misshapen head. You're going to have to expect people to laugh at that.
Right. So
don't you think?
You expect people to laugh at your name. I mean, I just don't get it. Just why not just grow?
No one's they're calling me a pervert. They're calling me as if I've chosen to be a pervert.
I don't.
Wait a minute. Wait. Why would it be okay to laugh at this man's head? Why would it be okay to laugh at his head?
I think you have to. I didn't say it was okay, did I? I said you'd have to expect it.
Well, then he grew longer hair. So he did something to offset that ridicule.
And what am I supposed to do to offset the ridicule of some 17-year-old punk kid who's come to my home with my wife who sleeps naked? Not that that's an issue, but what I worry about a family that is confronted by some kid calling me Hyde, Mr. Hyde, saying
right.
that I am therefore an animal.
But Chris,
slouching
kid, this was your neighbor who you knew,
right?
Who you said
somebody
you
that you should have known.
Yeah,
exactly. All right,
so
I got to take a break. I appreciate your call. 877-876 Phil. Let me go over to. Not taking a break, but another call. Ron, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Chris Jekyll. I don't know why you'd laugh at a man who's got a physical deformity.
I don't know.
I said that you would. I think you would expect to be laughed at. That's all.
Okay, go ahead, Ron.
I think that
Hello. It sounds to me like you're trying to justify assaulting somebody. No matter what, especially if you're civil, you should never take an altercation to where violence, you know, becomes the outcome. I also don't think that it is even anywhere near necessary, you comparing racial slurs where people have been killed over racism to a name yes. that you think is dirty. I think that that's way out of line.
Well, sir, I'll give you an example.
You said you had a kid,
sorry.
Right? Okay,
what if
one of your daughters made a joke with somebody and they just popped off and attacked them? Would you think that that was okay?
I think if my daughter is attacked by a man, that's wrong. But if she's attacked by another woman, then I'd have to say, well, what did my daughter say? And let's say this, Ron. If I called your mother, your very own mother, a dirty word, I wouldn't blame you for wanting to physically assault me. I wouldn't blame you at all. When a man calls me, is
the answer.
Well, sir, that's a philosophical difference that I don't really want to engage you on right now. I'm just telling you what I did in that moment to defend my family. Well,
to defend your family from a guy that called you, is Mr. Hyde there?
Yes, Phil.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I literally know a doctor named Richard Doom who works out of Ohio. He gets called Dr. Doom every day.
And he can make jokes about it every day.
You can look him up. He's a chiropractor in Ohio. And he doesn't assault people because they call him Dr. Doom.
I think you're making that up to bolster your argument.
He works in Toledo, Ohio, and he's a chiropractor. And he does not assault people, and they joke with him daily. I have no reason to make it up. You can look it up.
They call him Dr. Doom, as D-O-O-M.
Yes, his name is Richard Doom, D-O-O-M.
Well,
they call him Dr. Doom, like a cartoon character.
And I can tell you there's a lot that goes on in this world, Ron, and you don't know what Dr. Doom has done to people that have called him. You know, look, if people call him Dr. Doom, isn't that his name?
Just like yours is Dr. Jekyll.
No, it isn't. I'm not a doctor. That's why I've been trying to make that point.
Well, regardless, you should never assault somebody.
So if you were to call me Mr. Hyde, you'd have a problem. You'd have a problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you.
That's exactly right. Thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I think that to say that you're not a doctor, this other guy's name is Dr. Doom.
Yes, so people are going to call him Dr. Doom. What else are they going to call him? But I'm not a doctor. I'm a mister. And they say, hi, Dr. Jekyll. How's Mr. Hyde doing? To me, that is bringing out, that makes that joke, now it becomes a serious matter. I don't know if I'm going to have a wife that is attacked.
I don't see it. I just don't get it. I don't think you're making your case very clear. How is it that you fear for the safety of your family when some 17-year-old kid comes to the door and says, is Mr. Jekyll, or excuse me, I'm sorry.
Mr. Hyde.
All right, is Mr. Hyde there? When this was a friend, a neighbor, do you know the kid? Is he funny?
No, he's not funny. He thinks he's funny. Now he knows he's not funny after what I did to him.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number on the Phil Henry Show as we talk here with Chris Jekyll on his book, Loss of Civility. We'll be right back.
Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and this is the talk show that takes you places other talk shows can't. And we're very happy to do that for you. We're very proud that we can do that for you. And we do it for very low wages, and we do it nightly, unless, of course, we're working on something else. Daddy has to make a living. And in any event, we're also online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And if you go there, you can get a backstage pass, and you can actually watch our live streaming video of the show, and not only enjoy the live streaming video of the show, but you can enjoy our archives, our podcast, which arrives in your iPod the next day. It's all there. And we think it's really worth it, man. So, by the way, with the Christmas season upon us, we have just what you need for the Phil Henry fan in your house, the Phil Henry Show shop. Our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies are in. We have restocked the sizes that we were out of. We have hats, we have T-shirts, we have shot glasses, we have mugs, we have our legacy CDs, both the physical CD as well as the digital downloads. So I think I probably missed a few things here, but...
That's pretty all of it.
But head on over to the shop as soon as you can. All right, with me on the line is Chris Jekyll. Chris is in, actually in Jacksonville, Florida this evening. We're talking about his book, The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. And we have people who want to talk to you about this, Chris. There's questions having to do with the propriety, the appropriateness of your response to this. You know, we're talking about the loss of civility, and we're talking about treating each other better. Okay.
That's the point of my book, Phil. There's no question about it. That's exactly what I want to impart to everybody, and I think we do a pretty good job of it. If you permit me to say.
All right, but when your name is Jekyll, and you started the book because you had taken a lot of ribbing as a kid as Dr. Jekyll, and so forth.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay, and then a kid comes to your door, a neighbor, someone you know, a 17-year-old kid, and says, "Hi." Did he call you Dr. Jekyll?
Well, that's it. That was the 1-2 punch that was not taking into consideration any of the suffering that I had been through in my entire life. And we know this from the studies that have been done. And you can look at a lot of these different studies that have been done, and the papers are still on file in many of the universities, of people returning from wartime, concentration camps, and the level of the... neurotransmitters, the chemical level of neurotransmitter in the brain as the result of this abusive treatment. You know, Phil, I don't want to use the name Hitler to make these, but I will use one name, Tojo. Do you know Tojo?
Yes, the Japanese prime minister.
Yes, he was the militarist that ran Japan. And I will tell you that growing up as a young man, being called Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll, and then having someone come to my door and say, "Is Mr. Hyde home?" The Bataan Death March is something that men survived, and many men died.
Whoa, 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 whoa! I cannot allow you to do that, sir. And
no, you have to. Please allow me, Phil. I've walked in your shoes. Please walk in my shoes.
I cannot allow you to do that. I will not allow you to come on here and talk about your experience being called Dr. Jekyll as a kid, and compare that to men who survived or were killed on the Bataan Death March. I'm just not going to allow that.
Well, you know something. That is your own personal prerogative, and I will say your own personal prejudice, that you will not allow me my moment, but you allow other people to have their moments.
Sir, I want you to have your moment. I cannot allow you to come on my radio show and do that. I will not allow you to make that comparison.
You have said so a number of times, and I will respect that. But you do not live in my skin, and when that kid called me Mr. Hyde, and all I could think of was a woman that I love very much and three daughters, and that I might lose them.
You were going to lose your daughter and your wife, your daughters and your wife, to a kid saying, "Is Mr. Hyde there?"
This was a 17-year-old boy who had tortured me with the...
And you grabbed him and pulled him in and knocked his head, gave him a concussion.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And you're getting sued for that.
Well, you know something? I will tell you this, Phil, from the bottom of my heart. I hope other people can, and I'm sure they do. When it comes to protecting my family, you can sue me till the cows come home. I'm fine with that.
877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Henry Show here tonight. Let's go over to a phone call. We have John on the line. Go ahead, John.
Hey, I just have a question for Mr. Jekyll. Mr. Jekyll, if you were so concerned about your wife and daughter, why did you drag the young boy in the house? Why wouldn't you just shut the door?
As I said, what you need to do when you're in a situation like that is you want to make sure that your adversary is not far away from you. You want to drag him within the perimeter of your reach. I didn't know what he was going to do. So I grabbed him and dragged him closer to me so I would have more control over the situation. And in so doing, I was able to neutralize him. And
this kid had not done anything. and you gave and you bumped his head against the door.
This kid had come to my door and had served fair notice that he might do something, yes.
And you drug him inside your house. Why wouldn't you step outside?
I think I just answered your question. I think I just answered your question.
That's
do you want to ask it a different way? You can ask it.
No, you didn't ask. No, you didn't. You answered that, but he just said, why not step outside?
I was reacting. It was a reactive move.
That's a pretty poor reaction.
Well, why?
Why?
Okay, this guy's an idiot. Do you...
Let's not call... You know, the loss of civility? You just called him an idiot?
Well, he sounds stupid. Are you... Sir? You're asking me...
Your book is called
Sir?
The Loss of Civility? You just called this man an idiot and stupid?
Well, first of all, I said, why? Yes?
Sir?
Yes?
So, according to your book, you just contradicted yourself because you physically... got in a physical altercation with your neighbor boy who was 17, and you're how old? 51?
Yeah, that is correct.
Come on, you've had a lifetime to learn.
You apparently don't listen too good, you know.
No, I think he's listening very well, and he's asking a question. Listen, John, I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. I think he's listening very well, and he's asking a question that's very logical. If you're writing a book...
Phil, have you ever had... Is your name Jekyll? Is your name... Butts, is your name any of these names that people take and abuse and mock? No, your name is Hendry. The worst thing that could have ever happened to you as a kid is maybe somebody mistook that as your first name. Were you ever called Henry? And
you bet, yeah.
All right, and I bet you think you suffered.
No, I don't think I suffered.
Well, I can tell you that you didn't. Compared to being called Dr. Jekyll and his Mr. Hyde home, being called a pervert, that's what Hyde was. If you don't know the book, the Robert Louis Stevenson novel, Hyde was a sexual predatory pervert, which means anything that struck his fancy. That was Hyde.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I don't know that aspect of the book, but believe you if you say that. Here is James. James, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
My real issue here, and I want to be very clear before I even start, I would not begrudge Mr. Jekyll any of his hurt feelings that he's experienced through his life. You know, someone's pain is their pain. And their suffering is their suffering. Whatever we might think of it is not so much the point. My first issue, though, is one that I've heard echoed from other people, in that they're saying, okay, yes, you've had a lot of years to have to deal with this. The sensible response, it seems, will be to close the door and maybe call the police. We'll leave that aside, though. And
close the door and call the police.
Now, I said we'll leave that aside. Worry about that right now. I understand.
It would only provoke him. The next time he would come over and say, is the ape man here?
That's fine.
Is the ape man here?
Sir, that's not my problem. The second issue is that your assumption that someone calling you Mr. Hyde means that they are invoking some sort of sexual deviant stature on you. You have to first believe that a 17-year-old in this day and age has any idea what the actual story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is about, which is laughable. But you know what?
I don't know that that's the case at all. I don't share that opinion.
Sir,
I'm sorry.
Sir,
I think it's a very well-known story. It's like asking, do you know that Moby Dick is about a whale? Of course we know Moby Dick is about a whale. We know it's about a whale. It's ridiculous.
All right, don't argue, gentlemen.
No,
it's
not just that. Please let me finish. First of all, I'm a teacher, and I can assure you that the most that people in high schools nowadays know about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is there's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's about it.
Well, you're not doing a very good job teaching them, are you? You should have them...
Look, we're not here to talk about people's profession or the job they're doing. We're here to talk about your reaction. In the book you've written, The Loss of Civility, you have physically assaulted somebody who said, hey, is Mr. Hyde home? Most of the people that are calling here are thinking, this is a joke. Go ahead, James. I'm sorry to interrupt.
And that, well, Phil, you hit the nail on the head because that is really the issue. My only problem with anything that you've said or done here tonight, Mr. Jekyll, anything at all, or that you might have done to cause this situation to happen, or any of that, is that you had the temerity to write a book called The Loss of Civility. Instead,
that didn't take temerity, that took clarity. There's clarity in temerity.
Civilized person does not throttle someone who calls them a name. You are a child.
If the name portends some attack, physical attack.
Why would the name Hyde mean that?
Under no circumstances could that happen. Under no circumstances can you defend that. None.
Oh, I most certainly. I believe that I can.
You are failing miserably. You are failing miserably.
What if your name, can I ask you, I don't know what your last name is and I don't want to know, don't tell me, but let's say your last name, excuse my language, Phil, but you told me we could use the word. What if your last name was Ass? And people said, hey, Ass, and all the time, morning, noon, and night. Then some kid comes to the door and says to you, good morning, Mr. Ass. Is Mr., and then he uses the H word, H-O-L-E. Can I say that, Phil?
All right, you can say it, but it's a ridiculous comparison.
No, I'm asking the gentleman.
There is no comparison, sir. Mr. Jekyll, what I might want to do is not really the issue. What I would choose to do as a civilized person is, you write a book called The Loss of Civility, and the impetus for writing the book is you demonstrating how you yourself have lost civility. No, sir, you are missing the point. And I cannot believe that you took time to put pen to paper and tell people that we have lost our civility.
Most certainly have.
The basis of your, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. Okay, if the impetus for your book had been, this person came to my door and said, hey, Dr. Jekyll, is Mr. Hyde at home? And I explain to him why that was offensive and how it hurt my feelings, and then I helped him off my property or something along those lines, something that demonstrated how civil you were, then you writing a book called The Loss of Civility would not be so ridiculous. But you
Well, I can tell you, sir, that if I said to that man what you just said I should have said it and offered to help him off of my front lawn, I would be betraying the memory of you're going to laugh, I guess, Mr. Hendry, but of the thousands of Chinese and Burmese who died in World War II.
Come on. I can't believe you're making this comparison.
How can you begin to make that? Oh, my God. You are ridiculous. Sir, there are people
whose
blood has spilled
because of
their ethnicity, and you
have
called a name. There is no comparison.
Ned, for you to bring up the Bataan Death March.
I'm simply saying, Phil, I would be surrendering the same way the British did at Singapore.
Oh, bull crap.
Sir, your logic is flawed horribly. Horribly flawed.
I can tell you that in life, we face the same battles morally as well as sometimes physically, not on the scale, but we face it. We need the same courage that you need in wartime. That's what I'm saying.
These grandiose expressions about the Singapore and the Bataan Death March, I can't accept. I got to take a break. Thank you, James, very much. Great
Thank
call,
so
and
much,
it was
sir.
A very interesting
it.
Conversation. Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
Wait a minute. You're giving him all accolades.
Hold on for just a moment here, Mr. Jekyll. 877-876-PHIL as we continue talking to Chris Jekyll about his book, The Loss of Civility. And how when a kid came to his house and said, hi, Mr. Jekyll, is Mr. Hyde home? He basically throttled the kid. That was a very good description. Throttled him, pulled him into the house, banged his head against a door, and about a lot of other things. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And on the line with me is Mr. Chris Jekyll, the author of the book, The Loss of Civility, Civilized Behavior in the 21st Century. You've heard a very good couple of points there, Chris. Do you want to respond to the loss of civility that you seem to have shown?
Well, Phil, I don't think that there has been a loss of civility. I think what was happening was a man standing and trying to defend himself for the first time for being called Mr. Hyde. My whole life I've been Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll. And now someone wants to step it up. They want to step up in class, as they say in horse racing. They want to go from a maiden, they want to go to a stakes race. They want to go from their six furlong, they want to go to a mile. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that they're going to go from calling me Mr. Dr. Jekyll, hey, Dr. Jekyll, hey, Dr. Jekyll, is Mr. Hyde home. Now we go from the symbol of Dr. Jekyll, who was an intelligent, inquisitive man. He had a young lady who he was going to marry. He had a respected practice, and he had clients and patients that had great respect for him. Now, let's step up in class. This is going from the six furlongs to the mile and a half. Now let's call him Mr. Hyde, a sexual deviant, a man who his personal hygiene. I can't even believe that we're having this conversation. Now, I admit to you that I should have held the young man for the police. And
well, what were you going to what law did he break?
Well, you've heard of hate speech. Wow.
Hate speech? Hate speech is something that applies to racial invective. This is not hate speech.
Yes, it is hate speech. Yes, it is, Phil. Because
how is it hate speech?
Because by name, I was born with, I can't do anything about my name any more than someone can do anything about how big their nose is. So if you were born with a big nose, and
well, you can get your nose bobbed, you can have it, you know, and you can have your name changed.
No, you can't have, yes, you can, but if we lived in a time before they discovered how to do that to noses, and before they had discovered how they could change people's names and have it not impinge on the system, if we lived in those days, I would be the victim of discrimination because my name is Jekyll, and because people, rather than taking me seriously, want to make jokes about me being a character in a book that was written over 100 years ago, looking like a fop, walking around in a big hat, and no one taking you serious. That's what I'm trying to say.
No one taking you serious, and you being a victim of a racial crime, I got to tell you, I don't know if those two things go together. Let me go to a phone call here. I think this is this Jeremy or Jerry?
Yes, Phil.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Henry Show with you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Chris Jekyll.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you on Modern Family. Mr. Jekyll, I'm just wondering, you had a father? Did you grow up with any brothers?
Did I grow up with brothers? No, I did not. I had a half brother who was the son of my mother and another father. I had a very unorthodox upbringing, which lended itself to my insecurities. And that's something else we should understand about each other.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for that. But surely your father, Mr. Jekyll, had some brothers. And I mean, have they not had these troubles in the past? How did they react?
That's a good question, yeah. Did these guys have to, you know, deal with this?
What guys?
Your father. They all had the name Jekyll.
No, I don't know if they did or not. If they did, well, you know, they probably did because this is a generational thing. It's the same as... Let me say this to you. The gentleman is Jeremy, right?
Yes.
Jeremy,
yes.
You have a southern accent. It may not sound like a southern accent to you, but it does to me. Would you like it if people kept saying, hey there, Huckleberry, how you doing there, Tom Sawyer?
Hey, I learned a lot. I'm from North Carolina. I was born in New Jersey. So I'm out.
All right, hold on. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hang on there, Jeremy. The Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL with Chris Jekyll on how he was the victim of discrimination.
Phil Henry.
And why?
Because your name's Jekyll and they called you Dr. Jekyll.
famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We have on the line here Chris Jekyll for just a few more minutes, a couple of more segments here, and we're talking about your book, The Loss of Civility, the fact that you grew up with the name Jekyll, and the fact that someone called you Mr. Hyde and you wound up assaulting the guy, you know, and everybody is asking why. Why is it necessary to physically assault a man who just said, hey, is Mr. Hyde home making a joke?
I'm going to give you one here, Phil. And
then I want to get to some more phone calls.
No, I understand. I want to give you one here, Phil, and I think you're going to understand this. And I think your listeners are going to understand this very well. There was a football player, and I don't know, you probably saw him, Phil. He was a little bit before my time, but, you know, his name was Dick Butkus. Now, if ever there was a man blessed with an unfortunate name, it was that. And do you suppose that Dick Butkus, when he was a young man, and even as he got older and went into college, do you suppose someone said, hey, Butkus, hey, Butkus? It sounds juvenile.
There's no question.
Okay. And do you suppose that Dick Butkus closed that big hand of his? He was a linebacker, and I don't know how big that fist is that Dick Butkus could make. He was a big man. Do you suppose he closed that hand into a fist? And gave some people what for?
I don't doubt that he did. And I don't excuse that either.
You don't excuse what? You don't...
I don't excuse, hey, Butkus, and Butkus... Well...
If they say it enough times... Well, when someone...
But the name Hyde is not...
Well, the name Hyde is... And because when that young man came to the front door, there was something else I had to deal with, and that was the possibility that he wasn't just saying, is Mr. Hyde here, as in, is the evil twin of Dr. Jekyll here, but he was using the word Hyde for its other meaning, which is the posterior. Hyde, Mr. Butt, Mr. Ass. These are all very juvenile, very, very juvenile issues that we unfortunately all have to deal with. Only I have to deal with them every day of my life. And
every day of your life, someone is calling you Mr. Hyde, as in ass or whatever you said.
Every day of my life, I have to be on guard against someone who may want to wrong or do harm to my wife or my daughters and gain access to my home by throwing me off with... Is Mr. Hyde there, making me angry enough so that I swing, miss, that person ducks under my arm and gains entry to my home?
Oh, my God. It's a scenario that I...
You can say, oh, my God, all you want. You're not me. You don't have to live in the hell that I live in and have lived in for 51 years.
The hell you live in. All right, 877-876-PHIL. I want to get over to another phone call here. This is Joni. Joni, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Chris Jekyll.
Hi, Mr. Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
I have so much to say because I've been waiting for about 2 hours to talk to this gentleman. I have four teenagers in my car. I am a black woman. My name is Joni. And I was growing up in my life with someone talking to me with Joni Loves Chachi. And I love the show. I love the one. I have nothing against race. But for Mr. Jekyll to get on the phone and to have a comment saying or even refer what he has gone through about his last name and to refer that as or compare that to racism, he can't even compare. And Mr. Jekyll, let me explain to you, and do not interrupt me. You have used every excuse in the book to try to say it's racist to you, it's hurtful to you. You don't know what racism is. You have not experienced racism, have not gone through racism. You haven't been a slave. You haven't gone through being tortured because you're black. You don't know what black people go through or Hispanics go through. Never. Ever compare what your last name have ever compared to being racist or comparing it to being in a fearful state of mind, to compare violence with some child you have used in this whole segment and compare this young man to a man or a boy. Now, which one is it? Because this seems like a juvenile and you acted like a juvenile.
When he called me a Hyde, when he said I was a Hyde, when he said, well, you asked me a question, you asked me a question, and I will answer your question. When he called me a Hyde, I assumed that he was, it was, those were fighting words.
You cannot compare with what your last name is, because my name has been taunted. Don't ever compare that. Or being black, never again. You don't know what it is or what it is.
No one thinks you're black. If they called you Joni, they don't think you're black. They think you're white if they called you Joni.
What?
She said Joni loves judging.
Knowing what fear is. Has anyone raped your wife? Has anyone raped your children? Don't ever compare.
That morning, my wife could very well have been raped that morning had I not said to Mr. Hyde or to the kid, don't you call me Hyde.
Let's say yourself, let's not anyone else. You deserve to be in jail.
Nonsense.
And you are wrong for what you have done. Don't you ever take a young man, a woman, or a child, and you
I
have
to.
An excuse that
I
your last name is in fear. There is no excuse.
My name
you
is Jekyll.
If you was my title, I would have put you in jail. I would have put you under the jail. And I would
you can't put me in jail for having the name
don't
Jekyll.
You ever,
can't put me in jail.
All right, okay, let's hold on for a minute. Hold on. I want to ask you, Mr. Jekyll, what your point was about Joni's name.
Okay, her name is Joni. And she wasn't offended by people calling her Joni Loves Chachi like there are a couple of Puerto Ricans?
It's a name. It's a name.
Right, but weren't you offended?
Pick on and don't interrupt me. No, my name did not offend me. It did not hurt me because somebody said something about my name.
They're calling you a Puerto Rican. They're saying you're in love with a Puerto Rican.
Excuse me. My name is nothing. My name is nothing. It's not going to kill me.
Your name's nothing.
Excuse me. Don't interrupt me. It's not going to kill me if someone says something about my name. That's stupid.
They said that you were in love with a Puerto Rican and living up in Spanish Harlem.
Oh, come on.
Put your hand on no one. That's childish. You have an excuse in a book to put your hands on another person, and that is no excuse.
Absolutely. If they threaten my wife or my daughters, I will put my hands on them. They called me Hyde.
All right. Okay. All right. I think the point here, and it's a good point, Joni, is that you cannot compare your whatever you've been through with the name Hyde or Jekyll, you can't compare that to race.
You know how I can compare it to race? I can compare it to race this way. When they call me Hyde, they're basically calling me a monkey. Now,
well, you
that's
know what?
Not human. That's a monkey.
When I was a child,
what?
You know what I was told? Words don't hurt you. Because it seems like to me you have a juvenile mind. It seems to me that you want to use that excuse to put your hands on another person. But I guarantee you, if you was black, and I guarantee you if someone did that to you, you would not even survive the next day the way they would torture a black human being or whether they would torture a Hispanic human being.
Black people are used to it.
Don't interrupt me. We are
used to it,
beings.
But as a white man, I'm not used to it. I'm not used to being mocked and being compared to someone's butt.
Human beings. That is no excuse.
Absolutely. All right, Joni, thank you. Very good call, Joni.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear, for your call. Your phone is...
You know, I think I resent very much the fact that her phone was tough to hear, and she was making some pretty ridiculous say. She's saying to me that
she made everything she said was absolutely right, and I think that when it comes to being offended by words, we've spent a couple of hours talking about somebody calling you Hyde. The name of the book is The Loss of Civility. I'm sure there's much, much more to talk about than just your experience.
There is. Indeed, there's much more to talk about. The reason why I brought that into the discussion, Phil, is because of the fact that it was a personal experience of mine. If you look at people's names, my goodness, my name, Jekyll, and what I've been put through, it may not be anything to Joni or to other people, and that's fine. I may say to Joni, well, I don't know anything about your experience, and so it goes. But when you grow up with a name like Butts, B-U-T-T-S, and look at these ridiculous jokes, Life Under the Grandstands by Seymour Butts. What if that was your name, your real name? You see? So...
You wrote a whole book about people's names?
No, I did not write the book about names.
Well, that's what you've been discussing with us here for an hour and a half. People's weird names. 877-876-PHIL. Let me get over to another phone call here. We have Patrick, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Jekyll. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yes.
And you have a great show there.
Thank you.
All I wanted to say is, as a kid growing up, my mom was a school teacher, and of course I was made fun of, and they're like, oh, you're the teacher's pet. Also, I got made fun of because of my appearance, because I was bigger than the other kids, so I got called, you know, like the fat kid or fat boy and whatnot. And also, my Spanish name is actually Patricio, and they're like, oh, here comes Patricia. You just got to ignore these people. People are going to be childish. People are going to be cruel. And
yes,
eventually, they're going to get tired of... Don't interrupt me.
Yes, Patrick. I don't mean to interrupt you, Patrick, but you're comparing apples to oranges. The fact that you went through life as a big kid, yes, that's hurtful. But I'm talking about the threat to a woman and her sleeping daughters.
Okay,
see?
For one thing, a 17-year-old kid, you've known him for quite a while because he's a next-door neighbor. He is
yes.
not going to do anything. Insults are not going to kill anybody or severely injure anybody. You got to wake up and smell the coffee of what is going to be a threat and what is not going to be a threat, especially if it's the next-door neighbor kid. You know, already know, of course he's going to tease you. Kids are going to be kids. But you got to realize it is not...
it's not the same as calling someone fat. When he said hide, he was saying, I got your number, ape man.
Excessive force is not necessary. Excessive force is not necessary. If you had...
I didn't understand the word you just used. What word did you say?
Excessive force.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Force. Quit interrupting me.
It sounds, sir, like you're saying except for force.
No, excessive force.
Okay. All I'm saying is, if you had that big...
How big were you?
I don't think that's any of your concern right now. And quit interrupting me.
Okay.
Quit interrupting me.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is, no matter if you're being called a name or they're making fun of your last name because of the story... Just ignore it. And if it's that big of a problem, don't let him in your house anymore. Tell his parents. Have a conference with them. There's a solution to everything. Excessive force to a kid is
when
never...
When you say don't let him in my house, that is part of the lawsuit because they're saying that I invited him in and then beat him up. Technically, I did invite him in by grabbing him and pulling him into the house. Then I began to beat on him because he had said to me, as I've tried to be very clear here, Patrick, he said, is Mr. Hyde home? Now, I understand that to you that's not an insult, but to hundreds of years of the Hyde name, and my name is Jekyll, so it's not even Hyde, it's an insult to anyone named Jekyll because now they're saying, can I see your dark, black, sick side? You see?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
What does that mean, wow?
You got to be kidding, man. Are you...
Really?
Excuse me?
Really?
This was what I talked to the other lady about. She doesn't know me any better than I know her. You don't know me any better. You tell me that you were overweight or what have you. Okay, I accept that. Now I tell you what my hell is, what the pit of human filth that I live in, and you want to laugh at me.
The pit of human filth.
You're both going, you're poo-pooing what I said.
Okay, well, the thing is, you objected to people saying, hello, Dr. Jekyll. I would be honored if someone called me doctor, you know, as part of humor. Come on.
What? I don't get that. What do you mean you'd be honored
humor.
If you're not a doctor? Well, they're going to be calling you doctor to make fun of the fact that you're not a doctor.
Haven't you ever heard people say, hey, doc, how you doing, doctor?
Yeah. Yes, I've heard that, and they were doctors.
No, sometimes they say doc.
Only Bugs Bunny. Oh, you guys are, it's a pretty sad story. When I'm on a radio show, and now you guys have reduced yourselves to bringing up Bugs Bunny as a way of defending your arguments.
It's all humor.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Good call. And we're going to take a break here as I try and... because I was almost going to break out laughing there. I was almost going to break out laughing there when Mr. Jekyll started to act incredulous that I mentioned, you know, Doc, and he brings up Bugs Bunny. Like, that's my big argument of the hour. That's my big... I just pulled out my smoking gun argument, man. Bugs Bunny. All right, we'll be right back here. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more from Chris Jekyll and his book, The Loss of Civility, in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Who's your bitch? Are you talking about me?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to our program. Just a few more seconds here with Chris Jekyll as we talk about his book.
Mr. Henry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I do want to thank you very much for having me on your program. I don't think that I said that, and I do appreciate it. We've had our differences on the program, but please accept my thanks.
Well, I'm very happy to have you, Chris. I really am.
I know it's been contentious, but you know something? I hope someday I can write another book, perhaps a better one, that will get people to understand, you know, what I'm trying to say.
And, you know, if I'm not getting it, excuse me for being, you know, dumb.
No one's dumb. Let's not say that. Let's say that we just have a long way to go in understanding each other.
But as far as I can tell, you're, you know, kind of hanging your hat on this thing that your name is Jekyll, and you've been called Dr. Jekyll. Now a guy called you Mr. Hyde, you know.
Well, but it doesn't end there. They'll say things like, Dr. Jekyll, do you ever see Robert Louis Stevenson anymore? And that's not really offensive so much as it's just tiring. It's tiring to deal. It's tiring to have to stop and to acknowledge, isn't that funny? You just said Robert Louis Stevenson. He's, you know.
Okay, let me get to some phone calls. I've got Norma hanging on the line. There's so many questions I still would like to ask you, but we're running out of time. Norma, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Chris Jekyll.
Right. I've been listening for quite a while, and it's hard for me to understand how, Mr. Jekyll, you can imagine that you're a civil person because you interrupt everybody who tries to get a point in. But I only have just one thing.
Well, that one lady, I didn't interrupt that lady, Joni. She just kept on going and going and going.
Well, you kept trying to interrupt her, but she was pretty persistent and just hung right in there. But I only have one thing to say. I understand how you feel about your name and people insulting you, but remember this. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is just a story. It was not about you. People may try to make it about you, but it isn't about you. So, as a mother of a former teenager, all I can say to you is, if your home is your castle, then you have every right, and it should be. We all should consider it that. This young lad, who's being a smart aleck, and you knew it, all you had to do, since it's your home, is say, listen, punk, it's too early for this. Go home and come back later. And because you're the grown-up.
When I'm not here and my wife is alone, maybe, I can't take that chance.
Listen,
Norma,
let me tell you something.
Yes.
If your wife lives with you, if she doesn't know how to talk back by now, it's over.
I want to ask you, as an intelligent woman, because you sound like one, what would you do then if someone looked at you, and your name is Norma Jekyll, and someone came to your door after years of being called Dr. Jekyll, or, you know, maybe they called you Mrs. Dr. Jekyll, I don't know, and they say to you, hey, Mrs. Hyde, you know, where does it end?
I'll tell you where it would end. That wouldn't bother me in the least because I know it's a story, and whoever's trying to insult me doesn't have that ability. Nobody can insult me for something that doesn't mean anything to me.
Wouldn't bother you in the least?
Not at all.
This is what I'm talking about, Phil. We don't even know any longer when someone is comparing us basically to human waste.
Come. Mr. Hyde might have been a negative or, you know, what do you want to call a guy's, an anti-hero, antagonist, a bad guy in literature and in the movies. But we have fun with those characters. But to say that you're, it would be like saying to me, somebody calling me Godzilla or something, you know, I mean...
When would anyone call you Godzilla?
I mean, if they thought I was being monstrous about something.
I asked Norma, Phil, because you just took us way off the point. Norma, you wouldn't be offended by being called Mrs. Hyde.
Not at all.
What if somebody, when they said that, looked around behind you and said, hey, Mrs. Hyde, and they were looking at your, you know...
Phil Hendry.